Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Well-Educated Child by Deborah Kenny is a contemporary education book that blends philosophy, practical school design, and reflections drawn from the author's work as an educator and founder of Harlem Village Academies. Its central purpose is to redefine what it means for a child to be well-educated. Rather than limiting education to test performance, content coverage, or college admission, Kenny argues for a fuller vision centered on intellectual depth, character, self-discipline, and moral development. The book belongs to a growing body of writing on deeper learning, but it distinguishes itself by emphasizing three core principles: quality thinking, agency, and ethical purpose. Across these ideas, Kenny presents education as a formative experience that shapes the inner life as well as the mind. The result is both a critique of narrow schooling and a constructive framework for classrooms and school cultures that help children become thoughtful, motivated, and responsible human beings. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, redefining what it means to be well-educated. A major contribution of the book is its rejection of thin definitions of educational success. Kenny argues that a truly educated child is not simply one who accumulates information, performs well on standardized measures, or advances through competitive systems. Instead, she presents education as a process of cultivating habits of mind and habits of being. In this view, academic rigor matters, but it is inseparable from curiosity, concentration, judgment, self-command, and moral seriousness. This broader definition helps explain why the book resonates with educators and parents who feel that many schools have become too focused on compliance, metrics, and superficial achievement. Kenny asks readers to imagine classrooms where students are intellectually alive, able to sustain attention, generous toward one another, and capable of meaningful thought. By shifting the conversation from narrow outcomes to human formation, the book places education within a larger question about what kind of adult schools should help create. That orientation gives the work both philosophical weight and practical urgency. It is not an argument against achievement, but an argument that achievement should rest on a deeper foundation of intellectual and ethical development. Secondly, quality thinking as the heart of deeper learning. The idea of quality thinking sits at the center of Kenny's educational framework. She argues that schools should be judged not only by what students know, but by how well they think. This means moving beyond passive reception of facts toward analysis, reflection, questioning, and sustained engagement with challenging ideas. In public descriptions of the book, this principle is linked to practices such as complex questioning, student discourse, and learning experiences that require students to take ideas seriously. Kenny presents thinking as something that can be cultivated through classroom norms, thoughtful curriculum, and teaching that invites depth rather than mere speed. The emphasis on quality thinking aligns the book with deeper learning approaches, while also grounding them in a moral and cultural vision of education. It suggests that intellectual excellence is not the same as test preparation, and that real rigor requires time, concentration, and active participation. This focus also answers a common concern in education reform debates: how to preserve high expectations without reducing learning to mechanical performance. For Kenny, quality thinking gives rigor its true meaning by linking academic challenge to intellectual vitality, judgment, and the capacity to engage with complexity. Thirdly, agency and student ownership of learning. Another key theme is the development of agency, which Kenny treats as essential rather than optional. Agency refers to a student's sense that learning is not something merely done to them, but something they can actively direct, shape, and invest in. In the book's framework, agency supports motivation, resilience, and seriousness of purpose. It also shifts the culture of schooling away from dependency and toward responsibility. Public material connected to the book describes students taking ownership of their learning, and that phrase captures Kenny's broader aim. She is interested in schools where students can manage themselves, persist through difficulty, and participate meaningfully in intellectual life. Agency, therefore, includes more than choice. It involves self-discipline, independence, and the confidence to think and act with intention. This idea helps distinguish the book from approaches that talk about engagement mainly in terms of entertainment or personalization. Kenny links agency to demanding expectations and structured practices, suggesting that freedom in education grows through discipline and meaningful work. Her treatment of agency is especially important because it connects classroom practice with long-term human development. Students who develop agency are better prepared not just for academic success, but for citizenship, work, and purposeful adulthood. Fourthly, ethical purpose and the moral aims of schooling. Kenny argues that education should help children ask larger questions about meaning, contribution, and responsibility. This is where ethical purpose enters her framework. Rather than treating moral development as secondary to academics, She presents it as one of the defining marks of a good education. Schools, in this view, should help students move beyond self-interest and consider what they owe to others and what kind of life is worth living. This emphasis gives the book an unusually explicit moral dimension compared with many contemporary education titles. Kenny does not frame schools as neutral sites for content delivery. She sees them as communities that shape the inner life of young people. That is why the book has been described as presenting education as soulcraft. Ethical Purpose adds depth to discussions of achievement by insisting that knowledge and skill should be connected to character and contribution. It also helps explain why the book speaks to current anxieties about disengagement and emotional disconnection. Kenny suggests that children thrive when education gives them not only competence, but direction. By including ethical purpose as a central educational goal, she restores a tradition of thinking about schooling that links learning with responsibility, dignity, and a meaningful place in the world. Lastly, A Practical Vision Shaped by School Leadership and Classroom Culture. Although the book is philosophical in tone, it is grounded in real educational leadership and school building. Kenny draws on her experience founding and leading Harlem Village Academies, and on work associated with deeper learning. This gives the book a practical dimension that distinguishes it from purely theoretical critiques of schooling. Descriptions of the book emphasize classrooms where students are motivated, challenged, and respectful, and where teaching relies on discourse, strong questions, and ownership of learning. These are not presented as isolated techniques, but as parts of a coherent school culture. Kenny appears to argue that educational transformation requires more than revised lesson plans. It requires norms, institutional commitments, and adult belief in what children are capable of becoming. That practical grounding matters because it allows the book to speak to educators who need more than ideals. At the same time, some commentary has noted that the book's vision can seem aspirational, especially in difficult school contexts. Even so, its value lies in demonstrating that a richer model of education can be organized around everyday structures of teaching and culture. The book's real strength is the way it joins institutional experience with a larger argument about human flourishing. In conclusion, the well-educated child will be most valuable to teachers, school leaders, parents, education students, and policymakers who are dissatisfied with narrow definitions of school success. Readers looking for a serious argument about how education should form intellect and character will find much to consider. Practically, the book offers a framework for thinking about classroom culture, student motivation, and the kinds of practices that support deeper learning. Intellectually, it challenges readers to reconsider whether current systems are preparing children merely to perform or to live thoughtfully and responsibly. That broader question gives the book staying power. It stands out in the education category because it does not treat academic excellence and moral purpose as competing goals. Instead, Kenny argues that the strongest schools unite rigor, agency, self-discipline, and ethical seriousness. The book also occupies a distinctive space between manifesto and field-based reflection. It is idealistic, but its perspective is informed by real institutional work rather than abstract theory alone. For readers interested in educational renewal, it offers both a critique of shallow schooling and a compelling positive vision. Its strongest achievement is to make the phrase well-educated feel expansive, demanding, and humane again. If you would like to support Deborah Kenny, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.